In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus came and stood among his disciples. Anywhere else in the gospel narrative, and this is not a strange or peculiar sentence, but here in this story this morning, it is not only strange and peculiar, but it is seemingly impossible. You see, for us, the modern readers, the modern churchgoers, Easter happens all at once. Easter was last Sunday, and all of us know exactly how the story went, and we came back to church, and the alleluias were back, and all of a sudden, everything was okay. But for the first people who followed Jesus, for the disciples, news traveled a bit more slowly. You see, in the Gospel of John, only John and Peter had been to the tomb and Mary Magdalene. And John and Peter had seen inside, they had looked there, and the clothes were wrapped up, and they were set to the side, and the headdress was there, but Jesus was not there. But they had not seen him, even if they understood what had happened. Now Mary, she had seen Jesus. She had had an encounter with him in the garden outside the tomb, but at first she even didn't realize who he was. She thought he was just the gardener. And so for the rest of the disciples, they didn't have the same knowledge in the same way that we have today. They had not yet seen the risen Lord, and so we find them gathered together in a house, and they are afraid for their very lives. And we know this because not only does the gospel tell us that they are afraid, but it tells us that the doors were shut and also locked. And so they are gathered together, and they are afraid because their Lord and Savior and their friend had been killed. And they were unsure what was going to happen next. In fact, maybe, just maybe, they thought they were going to share the same fate because they were his followers. And if anyone found out who they were, maybe their lives would be taken too. And so maybe we can feel a connection with the disciples this morning, because if we would have been here or there, it would be likely that we too would have been hiding in this house, hoping that our lives would be okay. So often our first instinct is self-preservation more than anything else. And so they are gathered together, and they are in this place, and then all of a sudden, Jesus is there. Have you ever thought about what this actually looked like? I tried this week and last, as I prepared for the sermon, I wanted to know, what does this even look like for someone to just materialize in front of you? Is it like Star Trek when someone beams on board the SSS Enterprise and their body slowly and all these like sparkly molecules forms in front of them? Is it more like maybe like an episode of Scooby-Doo where there's a ghost that's able to kind of pass through the wall, although maybe it's actually just a hidden door? What are these people seeing? Like, I can't wrap my mind around what it is like for someone to not be in front of me. And then all of a sudden, I don't look away, but then they are there. Maybe if they weren't afraid before this moment, they were afraid now. Because their Lord and Savior, their friend who they had traveled with and lived their lives with for the last several years, the one who they thought was dead was now alive and in front of them, and they must have been very confused. And Jesus must have sensed this, because his first words to them is, "Peace be with you." Those are the right words. Those are the words that settle our hearts when we are afraid. And Jesus, like Jesus does, knows just what to say in this instance. And he tells them to look at him, to know that it is actually him, that this is not some sort of deception. And then he says to them again, "Peace be with you." Once again, he's so pastoral. He reassures them that everything is going to be okay. Now, what's interesting is that if the disciples were scared for their lives before this happened, now they are realizing that the story is not over. So any relief that they felt from being free of the drama that had happened for the last several years. Any amount of, well, I'll just get to go back to my family now, has probably disappeared. They know that in this resurrection story, there is work to be done, just as we know. And we can't forget that Easter isn't just a one Sunday thing, that there is work to do after it. Because just as the resurrection story continued for Jesus, and the resurrection story continued for the first disciples, it continues for the church today. It beckons us, it calls us, it invites us to do something with this information. Can you even begin to imagine what it would be like to be the first person to tell another person that Jesus rose from the dead? Can you imagine being the one that would break this news to someone else? Anyone that you talk to, I challenge you today, go to Walmart, walk up to a stranger, ask them if they know the story about Jesus being resurrected. First of all, they're going to be scared of you, so let's just get that off the table. But they're not going to be confused about the story. They're going to know what you're talking about because it has become part of the fabric of who we are. It is part of our culture. It is part of our language. We have a holiday that even people who don't call themselves Christians celebrate it loosely, right? People know this story. But these disciples knew that they were going to have to tell a fantastic tale, and they did not know if anyone would believe them. And they had to know that they would be met at least with some degree of doubt. And then the first person that they tell is the one disciple who decided to go grocery shopping when Jesus showed up. Right? This is the one person that should have been an easy sell. And yet they go to Thomas and they tell him what has happened, and he cannot believe it. Now Thomas gets a bad rap. Every time his name is written from here on out, everyone attaches the word doubting to the front of it, as though he never did anything else good in his entire life. But if I am honest, I can relate to Thomas. I can relate to exactly how Thomas responded to this news. Because can you imagine being told that a person that you loved, that you had spent your life with, that person who you thought was dead and gone, that you would never have another moment on this side of eternity with, that person was alive? Can you imagine hearing that all of your friends had seen them, and for you, all you got was just the story, and you were just like, yeah, that's okay, that checks out. I'll just go forward with that information. I don't need any proof. For me, when Thomas begins to say, no, I will not believe unless I see him. I will not believe unless I see his wounds and I place my hand in his side. It is not good enough just to have the knowledge of it. I need to experience it. For me, I begin to understand exactly how I would react in this situation. It might not be the wounds that I would need to see, but I would need to hold them. I would need to hear their voice. I would need to smell whatever perfume or whatever scent is about them. I would need to know that this was not any illusion or hallucination or mirage. I would need to know that this was real. And so about a week later, Thomas finds himself there in that same house where the disciples had gathered before. Only this time the narrator gives us a subtle hint that something has changed, because the disciples gathered for the first time and the doors were both shut and locked. But this time they were only shut. Now, maybe two things are happening. Perhaps an encounter with the risen Lord had made them just a little less afraid. And that is a beautiful thing. And maybe, just maybe, they were still trying to figure out how he got in the first place. And they were trying to make it a little bit easier in case he showed back up again. But the disciples are there and Thomas is with them. And all of a sudden, just like our favorite episode of Star Trek or Scooby-Doo, Jesus is right in the midst of his disciples again. And he tells Thomas, see me, I am standing right in front of you. See my wounds and put your hand in my side. And Thomas does just that. And he says, my God and my Lord. He recognizes that this is no trick. And then the Lord begins to talk. And it's almost confusing because it's like he talks past Thomas. He first says, do you believe because you have seen me? But then he says, blessed are those who have not yet seen, but will believe. It's as though he is looking beyond Thomas, beyond the present moment, beyond that particular context, into the future, into the lives of each and every one of us who will have to hear this story, who will never see Jesus materialize in that exact same way in the middle of a room in which we are standing, but still we, the disciples, here now in the future, have the same need and desire as those first disciples. We need a glimpse of Jesus. We need a glimpse of Easter. We need a glimpse of resurrection if we are going to go out and to do the hard work that comes next. So often we want to gather together in our small rooms and houses where we feel safe. We like to shut our doors and we like to lock them and we like to make sure that everyone that we don't know, that doesn't look like us or doesn't dress like us or doesn't believe like us or does something different than us the way that we wouldn't choose to do it, we want to make sure that they are all on the other side of the doors and walls of our house because it feels really safe when we're with people who are just like us. And in this passage, Jesus is inviting us to see that he likes to come right into the midst of us and disrupt that comfortable situation. That when we are comfortable and safe, Jesus comes to us and says, the same God who sent me into the world is now sending you into the world. Only you will not go alone, because God is continuing to breathe the Holy Spirit upon us. We have everything that we need. Today, my friends, we are those same disciples sitting in this place where we feel safe. And God is beckoning us through Jesus and through this passage to know and to tell us that we should believe in the resurrection, but not only of Christ's resurrection, but also in our own and in the resurrection of the entire world, because this is the desire of God. Behold, all things are being made brand new. Amen. Amen.